A new order from the Trump administration will reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. This doesn't legalize it in Wisconsin, but some advocates hope it's a step in that direction. We've made it to Friday, it's April 24th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, lots of communities still cleaning up after those storms. Wisconsin agencies are beginning the process now of asking for federal assistance. And Senator Tammy Baldwin says a Senate vote to fund immigration enforcement does not include needed changes to Trump administration policies.
Needed to have applied to their agencies common sense guardrails so that we wouldn't see U.S. citizens killed on our residential neighborhood streets.
Stay with us.
I'm Pam Schwartzbach. My husband, Troy Cutray, and I are the owners of Hive of Madison. Hive of Madison is an outdoor lifestyle and boutique here in Madison, Wisconsin.
It is very frequent that we hear from customers.
We heard you on public radio today.
More than any other thing that we do to promote our business, it is public radio that we hear our customers thanking us for. We find that public radio definitely resonates with our customer.
Learn more about business sponsorship at wpr.org/sponsor.
The Trump administration is easing federal restrictions on medical marijuana in certain circumstances. But as Sarah Lear explains, this won't change much in Wisconsin.
Thursday's order reclassifies medical marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug to a less restricted Schedule 3 substance. But that only applies to states that already have programs to license medical marijuana. Practically, that doesn't change things here in Wisconsin, where medical marijuana remains largely illegal. Nonetheless, Rob Pera with the Indigenous Cannabis Industry Association believes the federal order could help shape attitudes in Wisconsin.
This really relieves a lot of pressure on our legislature to, you know, even those that were very conservative in regards to their opinion of this plant.
Eventually, Pera believes that could play a role in convincing state lawmakers to legalize cannabis. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Communities across Wisconsin are assessing damage from storms that ripped through the state last week. Thunderstorms, heavy rainfall, and tornadoes caused widespread damage across a number of communities. Storm damage assessments are now underway in several of those counties. Those reports will help Wisconsin Emergency Management determine if the state meets the threshold for federal financial assistance. Teams in Outagamie County have been assessing flood damage in the village of Shiocton, which was under an emergency evacuation due to flooding. Tom Nelson is the county executive.
This has been absolutely devastating. I think flooding is a very unique kind of disaster because it comes through, it lingers.
Over 140 assessments have been completed already in Marathon County, where a tornado destroyed and damaged many homes. Meanwhile, preparations for spring planting have been delayed in parts of southern Wisconsin after last week's storms. As Hope Kerwin reports, those storms left saturated soils and in some cases standing water on fields throughout the region.
Jefferson County farmer Randy Mitchell would love to be planting corn and soybeans this week.
The planter is ready to go and our machinery is ready.
But he's still waiting for his fields to dry out after last week's repeated storms. Mitchell says there's standing water on some of his acres and on other farms in his county. Other producers have had to clear away downed trees and storm debris caused by damaging winds. Heavy rains like those last week can lead to soil loss and nutrient runoff. A delay in planting could also impact the timing of other field work, like herbicide treatments moving forward. But Mitchell says some of his neighbors with higher ground or sandy soils have still been able to get started planting. He's hoping to get back on track by the end of next week, barring any more downpours. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Early yesterday morning, the U.S. Senate adopted a Republican budget measure that would deliver around $70 billion for immigration enforcement and end a partial government shutdown. Senate Democrats had been holding out, demanding policy changes for ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret spoke with Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin following yesterday's vote.
I want to start with your reaction to the vote early Thursday morning in the Senate, effectively starting the reconciliation process to fund the Department of Homeland Security without Democrats having to get on board with it. Your reaction to that decision by your Republican colleagues to move forward on that?
Look, in late March, the Senate voted unanimously to fund the majority of the Department of Homeland Security budget. This was, as I said, a unanimous vote that funded activities like FEMA, TSA, the Coast Guard, and many other important functions. But we held out for separate consideration the budget for ICE and the Border Patrol, because it was very clear after what we saw in our neighboring state of Minnesota that ICE and Border Patrol were really becoming rogue agencies that needed to be reined in and needed to have applied to their agencies common sense guardrails so that we wouldn't see U.S. citizens killed on our residential neighborhood streets or in proximity to schools and places of worship. Sadly, this has not happened. It was a very straightforward request on the part of Democrats to put these guardrails around these agencies that had really gone off the rails. And so that brought us to last night, where our Republican colleagues are trying to force a vote on a simple majority basis in the Senate, whereby they would fund, forward fund, ICE and Border Patrol for a number of years without any of those common sense guardrails that I just described. Very frustrating, especially since we provided in the Senate last month a very straightforward way to keep the other functions, the important functions of Homeland Security moving forward. Sadly, the House rejected that, and now we find ourselves in this circumstance.
Did you see any way you could have negotiated within the Senate to get 60-plus votes on an ICE and Border Patrol package that would have gotten some of what you wanted maybe a month ago versus now with this reconciliation, Democrats are out of the picture in writing this legislation?
Well, one of the realities we have right now is that during a bill that was passed last summer, a similar process with reconciliation, this was the bill that Donald Trump called his one big beautiful bill, but we regarded as anything but. There was advance funding for ICE and Border Patrol already contained in that legislation that Republicans have been drawing upon to keep those agencies functioning even during the partial shutdown of the remainder of Homeland Security's sub-agencies. And because of that, they had no motivation to come to the table. Again, the vast majority of Americans support the common sense guardrails that we're talking about. We're talking about things like stopping the roving patrols through residential neighborhoods and instead making sure that ICE executes on warrants, judicial warrants, not just picking people up on the streets, right? And things like don't wear masks and have your identification clearly visible for citizens to see. None of these were things that my Republican colleagues were willing to negotiate on.
You can hear that full interview at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. Coming up, a Milwaukee poet shares the inspiration behind a poem he wrote about a lunch counter. That's coming up in Wisconsin Life. Stay with us.
At Morning Edition, we take you to the places where the news is breaking so you get a clear idea of what's happening and why.
The Trump administration repeatedly called the protesters anarchists and insurrectionists, and this is simply not the case. I was there. These protests have been...
Listen for the latest developments on the biggest news stories every weekday morning on Morning Edition from NPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. When the news of the world feels hopeless, serving others can be a way to find grounding and purpose. Poet Carl Michael Iglesias, a Milwaukee native, found that connection through volunteering at a free lunch program. He reflects on that experience in his poem Huerto de Sed and tells us more about why he wrote it.
Muerto de sed, or dying of thirst. It's lunchtime in the city, and the service is church. Community of giraffes gathering at the shore. We deep bow our heads to drink in grace. Gracias, hermano, nodded the hunger. And it was met. It's lunchtime in the city, and the line is winding down the block in wind. The mouths are in a river that leads out the door. The mouth of the river stacks red trays, pure white napkins for face grace, and they pass as message. And a love song offers you a tong of French fries. And a long day asks, you want one or two hot dogs? And a prayer seeks to know what bread you prefer. And a birthday party asks you, do you want some cake? Wow, how coconut shavings husk a city of grins on days like today. I'm Caribbean, the ocean admits. I hear. It's lunchtime in the city, and here I am, having appeared at the end of this filling procession, offering myself in need of being useful to God in the waves of dozens of cups. Congregating a table, appearing to you as water, 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 water.
The world of this poem is rooted in a particular experience volunteering for a free lunch program alongside friends offering meals to others in need. Some guests were quick to spark a conversation, some struggling with a justified anger. Muerto de sed translates to dying of thirst. This year, in the midst of so much tragic violence, I found myself struggling with helplessness, seeing some of the world's conflicts as mountains out of reach that I couldn't even begin to scale if I tried. Being called to look inward to navigate through these feelings has brought me outward, toward community. Perhaps in order to quench our questioning thirst for humanity, it is up to us to actively turn to service and away from the self. Wonder if this war against the callousness of cruelty is best waged alongside the allies of love, and together offer a meal, a smile, a room of open hands, cups, water.
That was poet Carl Michael Iglesias. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. And we'll get a check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. Scattered showers in eastern and northern Wisconsin early this morning, clearing throughout the early morning hours. High temperatures getting into the 60s with plenty of sunshine across the state today. Mostly clear overnight with lows down into the 30s and 40s and highs in the 60s throughout the weekend. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Don't forget, we love hearing your feedback, so leave us that rating and review. It just takes a couple of minutes. You can do it wherever you're listening right now, and we really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.